Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're so glad that you've tuned in to listen this morning on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend, 2018. Before I start the broadcast, I certainly do want to call attention to Memorial Day tomorrow. And as we remember and recognize those who have gone before us, who have given their lives in the service of our country, who have gone before us because of illness or old age or tragedy or whatever it might be. Memorial Day is a time to remember those that have gone before us. And while dealing with death is one of the most painful and hurtful things that we have to deal with in this life, I want to remind you also that as you remember your loved ones and those who have gone before, that you take comfort in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is what gives us the hope and the peace and the joy that even in death, that we and those who are also part of the body of Christ don't have to just experience death, but they can live forevermore in Christ. And so I certainly want you to be comforted by those thoughts. And friend, if you don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know the one to whom God's church takes time out on the first day of the week to remember and to memorialize every week, we certainly want to encourage you to come and learn about him. We celebrate his death every week on the first day of the week on Sunday as we take the Lord's Supper. We recognize his body and his blood, and so that his memory will never grow old or that we would forget him. We are so glad that we can think about and contemplate the great sacrifice that he made for us so that we could have salvation. And so if you don't have a hope over death, if death is something you're afraid of, I want to encourage you to come and be with us at the church at Las Vegas so you can learn about a Savior who loves you, who laid down his life for you so that you could be free. We certainly appreciate all of the sacrifices of our military and those who have laid their lives down for others in so many different ways, but we are ultimately thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ who laid his life down for us while we were still enemies, the Bible tells us. That's a pretty amazing love that the scripture tells us about. And so before we jump into the subject that I'd like to talk about this morning, I'd like you to listen to this first song from Aaron and Jeffries. It's called He Is, and it really exalts and it honors Christ all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I hope that you will enjoy this morning. Let's think about Jesus and honor him for what he's done for us this morning.
Genesis, he's the breath of life. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. Numbers, fire by night. Deuteronomy, he's Moses' voice. In Joshua, he is salvation's choice. Judges, lawgiver. In Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. First and second Samuel, our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's sovereign. Ezra, a true and faithful scribe. Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls and lives. In Esther, he's Mordecai's courage. In Job, the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is our morning song. In Proverbs, wisdom's cry. Ecclesiastes, the time and season. In the Song of Solomon, he is the lover's dream. He is, he is, he is. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Lamentations, the cry for Israel. Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, the stranger in the fire. In Hosea, he is forever faithful. In Job, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, the arms that carry us. In Obadiah, he's the Lord our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, the promise of peace. In Nahum, he is our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's the leading force. He is freedom from the curse of sin. Ephesians, our glorious treasure. Philippians, the servant's heart. In Colossians, he's the Godhead Trinity. Thessalonians, our coming King. And Timothy, Titus, Philemon, he's our mediator. The Son of Man.
All right, as we turn our attention to the scriptures this morning, I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. If you're looking things up in the Bible this morning, 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, historically at this time, David, the king of Israel, has died, and his son Solomon has been appointed as king. David made sure that happened, and so Solomon is now on the throne of Israel after his father David. And Solomon has gone before the Lord and offered offerings to him, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream, it says in verse 5. And God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Okay, now that's a statement, isn't it? In other words, wow, I wonder what we would say if God asked us that. Ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Well, Solomon here has a great answer. And I think it's an answer that we can learn from. And it's what I want to use as a springboard to talk to you about something that's so important for us to have in our lives as Christians, and that is wisdom and discernment, and to be able to recognize the things of life. And so in verse 6, Solomon answered the Lord in this dream that he's having, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Wow, what an amazing reply that Solomon replies back to the Lord with. That first of all, he thanked God, and he reminded God of all of the great kindness that he'd showed to his father David, and to continue that kindness by letting Solomon be on his throne. And then I love his humility there in verse 7 and 8 when he says, "You have made your servant the king in place of my father David." So he recognizes himself as a servant of God. I think that's very important for us to realize as well. Yes, we have been adopted as his children. Yes, we've been bought by the blood of Christ. And yet we still need to consider ourselves servants, that we're willing to work for the Lord and to do what he would have us to do. And he says, going on, "I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Well, he wasn't literally a little child. I mean, he was of age, and he obviously had been equipped to handle things from his father David. And yet still, when he thought about all of it, he recognized how much he needed wisdom and advice from the Lord. "I'm only a little child and don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number." And so he recognizes his need for God's help, and that he wanted to do a good job in ruling over these people who he didn't think were his, but he recognized them as God's servants. And so in verse 9, when he says, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" So first of all, he asked for a discerning heart to govern the people. Now, discernment is to be able to recognize the difference between things. It's the ability to look at something and say, oh, I see what's going on here. I recognize what's happening. And this is so important for all of us. Now, obviously, we're not kings. We're not ruling over the nation of Israel. We're not ruling over probably anything but ourselves. And so, but the point is still here that we should have a desire to have a discerning heart, to be able to recognize what's going on around us, to be able to see things not in the way that the world sees them, but as the way God sees them. Now, you hear me say this a lot, but I just think it's so important, the words from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, when Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is talking about discernment, friends. When Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, don't get squeezed into agreeing or going along with or jumping on the bandwagon of what the world thinks is right and acceptable. You know what? Everybody out there thinks that they're entitled to their own opinion, that it's some God-given right. Well, sure, we all have our opinions, but guess what? What really matters is not so much our opinion or what we think or what we want, but what does God want? I know there's a lot of people out there that deny God exists, that they're not sure of whether God exists. There's people that think that people that believe in God are just viewing him as a crutch to lean on because they can't handle life. Well, I don't consider myself like that. I'm sure most other people don't either. But here's the truth of it. God exists whether you believe it or not. And just the fact that you don't believe him doesn't take away the fact that he exists. And so what he's saying through Paul here is, don't just let the world squeeze you in or conform you to its pattern, that if you don't go along with us, then we're not going to accept you. You're not going to be our friend. We're not going to be there for you. Well, that's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is in the world a lot of times. But he goes on to say, don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how does that happen? Well, it happens through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God. And as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through our lives by saying, okay, well, this is what God wants me to do, this is what I choose to do, then he strengthens us in our inner man to do what's right and acceptable and pleasing to God. And to have discernment. That's why it goes on to talk about, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Okay, you know, a lot of people say, what's God's will in this? And what's God's will in that? And I want to know what God's will is. And tell me what it is. Well, you know, what God wants us to do is to have our mind transformed. Okay, so that we know what God's will is. You know, because I can just tell you what it is. But I would rather show you what it is and then encourage you to make it yours. Borrowed beliefs have no power. Okay, I like that statement. Borrowed beliefs have no power. And you know what? I shared with the church last week the old statement I haven't shared for a long time, but I'll share it again on the radio this morning. Good, better, best. I'll never rest till my good is better and my better is best. Okay? I love those words because it says, hey, I have a responsibility to grow in grace and knowledge. I have a responsibility to add to my faith. I have a responsibility to find out what God's will is. I have a responsibility to put the Word of God into practice in my life. I have a responsibility to confess to God when I've done wrong and tell him that I've blown it and ask for his forgiveness. And I have that same responsibility to others. Come on, if we let God down, how often do we let other people down as well? We need to be people that have a soft heart, that are willing to forgive. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that there's no consequences from our actions. You know, I might forgive somebody for something, but it still doesn't mean that they're not going to have to deal with the consequences of their actions or behaviors for what they've done. The same way with the Lord. We can ask for forgiveness, but the Bible also says you reap what you sow. And so how much better it is to have discernment and do it right the first time than to just go blindly running into things and not think about things and end up doing wrong things and then having to ask for forgiveness. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And it is. And if you haven't experienced that, I want to encourage you this morning to taste and see that the Lord is good. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's wonderful. And this is all about discernment. This is what Solomon asked for, was discernment, to recognize the difference between things, to recognize what was right, what was wrong. He goes on back in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9 to say, and to distinguish between what is right and wrong. Okay, to distinguish between, there is right and wrong. Hey, I know, again, we live in a pluralistic society that just says, oh, there's no absolutes, and what you say is right, and somebody else says is wrong, and somebody says this, and somebody says that, and we're getting to the point, kind of like in the period of Judges, where everybody wants to just do what's right in their own eyes. I'll tell you, that's not the best way to live. Right? I want to do what's right in God's eyes. I want to encourage you to do what's right in God's eyes. I don't want you to conform to the pattern of this world. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to be transformed by the Word and the will and the Spirit of God. All right, we're going to listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Petra called Hit You Where You Live. And friend, if you will open up the Word of God, if you'll open up the Bible and you'll start reading it and studying it and meditating on it and allowing God to transform your mind, I'll tell you, you're going to enjoy a much different kind of life than you ever have before. So let's listen together this morning as Petra sings this song. You wanna do right in His sight. Well, our time is up this morning. Thanks so much for listening again. I hope that you will pray for discernment and the ability to distinguish good from evil and then do something about that prayer as God answers it and get into the Word of God. Hey, we're the church at Las Vegas. We love to encourage people to read the Scripture and to ask questions about the Scripture and grow in the grace and knowledge that comes from the Word of God. And we want to encourage you to come and do that with us. We meet together on Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. And we'd love to see you at any one of those times. You can go on to the internet, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and find out more about us there. And until next week, Lord willing, we want you to keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.